Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can I tell you this morning something about holiness? You don't have any holiness unless it's been imputed to you. Jesus took our sins that we might be able to partake of His holiness. And so without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, God dishonoring, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God this morning, Lord. I thank you, God, for laying something upon my heart, God, to preach this morning, Lord, to your people, God, to this congregation. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, today, Lord, that you'd give us unction of the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. I realize without you, God, I can do nothing, Lord. But, oh, God, we pray this morning, God, that, Lord, you take the reins, God, of my heart and my mouth, Lord. God, use me this morning, God, for your purpose in life, God. We love you in Christ's name, we humbly pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. This passage of Scripture right here, I guess, would be one of the saddest passages I see, Lord, in the Bible today. And I tell you something that's amazing about it, is that this took place with Esau back over in the book of Genesis. And some 2,000 or plus years later, God saw fit to cause the writer of Hebrews to include two verses right here about the life of Esau and the great mistake that Esau made in his life. And today I want to look at this thing about where Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I want to preach for a little while on this thought, the importance of the birthright. Or I could have used the title, it's too late to cry. Too late to cry. I don't know where you stand this morning with God. I'd like to think everybody in here in this house today is saved, but I doubt very much that everybody is in a congregation this big. I know when I was a lost man, I'd show up at church a lot of times. I'd show up to see if God would speak to me, to see if God would convict me, and I'd leave troubled when He did. And then at times when I'd go to church and God didn't convict me and God didn't trouble me, I'd leave even more troubled. I was afraid that God had left me forever to die and go to a devil's hell. But I want us to look at this man, Esau, right here, some things that took place in his life. And let's go back into the book of Genesis right here. I want to give you some background about Esau and some of his forefathers. Esau was the grandson of Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of our faith. Everywhere that Abraham went, he built altars and he prayed and he called upon God and he worshiped God. And Abraham was always looking to hear from God and to follow God in his life. A great example of a grandfather. He was a friend of God, the Bible says. He was obedient to God's word when God would speak to him. Abraham's a father of the Hebrew nation of Israel. And he's also the father of Isaac, the promised son that God had told him through Isaac he would be blessed, or the world would be blessed. But now in Genesis chapter 12, I want to read you three verses right here. Bible speaking right here about Abraham. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I'll show thee. Now, Abram, as he's called right here, later to be called Abraham, he comes out of the land of Terah, and he was a pagan worshiper. Pagan worshiper. But God spoke to him. And God called him in this verse right here. And he told him to get up out of your country, out of your from your kindred, from your father's house unto a land that I'll show thee. In other words, he had to step out by faith. And he said God made a covenant promise to him, and it was an unconditional covenant. This covenant would be personal, it would be national, it would be universal. As we read it here, it says, "And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And he goes on and says, "I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Listen to this. "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This is a picture of the nation Israel that would come through the descendants of Abraham here. And it was a picture right here of the Savior that would come out of the nation Israel. So Abraham is a great Bible character. I'd say that Esau had a great grandfather, one that he could look up to, and one that he should have wanted to pattern his life after. Now, if you'll turn with me in Genesis chapter number 25, let's go a little further in the life of Esau. God had given Abraham the son of promise of Isaac. In Genesis chapter number 25, the Bible says in verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now, let's look down a little further right here. Isaac, Abraham sent out for a wife, brought her into Isaac, and Isaac was married at 40 years of age. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to Sarah, his wife. Now, at 40 years old, Isaac has taken a bride by the name of Rebekah. It was 20 years later, when she was barren, that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And God was able to bless them with a child or children. There was twins within her womb, to be known later as Isaac or to be known as Esau and Jacob. The Bible says that they struggled within her womb. The days when she was to be delivered were fulfilled. Behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, verse 26. And after that came out his brother out and took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now, that tells me something about the timeline of this. When they were born, these boys had 15 years of their life to spend around Abraham, a great man of God. But listen now, as we read on a little further, and we'll get into the message in a minute. And the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Esau was a worldly man. Jacob was a godly man. I know he was a schemester. He had some bad events to take place in his life, but he was interested in the things of God. I'd say this morning, you're probably interested in the things of God, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Amen? But now listen to how this story evolves right here in the life of Esau. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Let me read that verse again. And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" You remember my title, The Importance of the Birthright. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he's swearing to him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a little bowl of stew. A little bowl of stew. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, I want you to notice some things this morning. As I got to studying this passage of Scripture and thinking about Father Abraham, the grandfather of these two boys right here, I got to thinking about the teachings that they must have had. The great man of God, Abraham, the friend of God, he was always looking and listening to God, wanting to hear from God, wanting to follow God and be obedient to everything that God had for him in his life. He was interested in the covenant promises of God. God had made great and unconditional promises to Abraham. Abraham, all he had to do was just be obedient to God and follow God to receive the promises of him. He would bless him and make of him a great nation. And he did exactly what he said he would do for Abraham. Abraham was a wealthy man. God blessed him. God blessed him. But Abraham didn't let that draw him away from God, as we see happening in a lot of folks' lives today. A lot of times when folks get real successful, then they ain't got time for God anymore. They have to go out on Sundays and spend their money and do things of this old world. Abraham was not that kind of man. And I can just imagine when Abraham had these two grand boys to come into the world at his age, and he was about 160 years old at that time, how he must have enjoyed his grandchildren. Grandchildren are a blessing, ain't they? Amen. By the way, that's two of my granddaughters there up there with their mama a while ago was singing. I'm proud of them. Amen. Grandchildren are different from children. Amen. And I know it's a blessing to have grandchildren. Abraham was a good grandfather. No doubt that there's times when Abraham would gather his boys around there and say, "Let me tell you some stories about my life as I've journeyed through 160 years and how I've walked with God and how God has spoken with me and how God has helped me through different trials and tribulations and things that's come my way." I can imagine when he told them about having to take Isaac upon the mountain there to offer him a sacrifice, a burnt offering to God, how that God had ordered him to take his son, his only son, his son whom he loved, and get up on the mountain there at Moriah and offer him a sacrifice. And through perfect obedience, Abraham didn't question God, but he went forward, and as he got up there and he laid his son upon the altar bound there, and he drew the knife back and was about to slay him, and God stopped him. I can imagine how he told these little old boys those stories like that. How God had worked in miracles in his life, and how the covenant promises God had given in it. Hey, I can imagine he even told them about through the covenant promises that one day, through the seed and the nation that would be born from them, there would come a Savior of the world. Amen. The Bible says Abraham longed to see Christ's day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham understood the promises of God and how important it was. Lord, listen to me this morning. The teachings. I wonder today what you're teaching your children today. Listen to me, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas. The Bible says right here in this passage of Scripture right here that Esau was a cunning hunter. Daddy probably taught him how to shoot a bow, how to throw a spear, how to go out and get that venison, bring it home, how to cook it and prepare a good meal with it. There's more important things in life than things in this old world. You better be preparing your children to meet God. Are you listening to me this morning? He had Esau prepared to be a great hunter. Says here he was a cunning hunter. But Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. This passage tells me that Jacob was interested in the things of God. He was interested in the covenant promises that God had made to Abraham. And as the story goes on there, he wanted this birthright. Now listen, the birthright was very important. In fact, this is the first mention of the birthright in the Bible. But what it meant for the firstborn son in a family, when the father passed on, he would become the head of the family. He would take over the responsibilities of the father over the mother and over any younger sisters in the family. And he would become the priest of the family. But Isaac, or Esau here, he had no interest in these things. If he had had interest in it, if he'd have had faith, I don't think he had any faith in the things of God. If he had, then he would have known the birthright and what it meant to him and to his family. But he was willing just to sell out for nothing. His birthright. You see, he made a bad trade. Even though he'd been taught right, brought up right, been told the things of God, but he didn't have faith to believe any of it. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe God? Do you believe this Bible right here is truth? Then I want to show you some things this morning about the birthright that you and I have. The trade that he made. He traded his birthright. It was his privilege to receive the birthright because he was born first. Though Jacob come out holding his heel from the womb. And Esau's barter. Say, what profit? What profit is this birthright to me? He didn't realize the scope of it. If you look in your Bible over into the book of Luke, over into the Gospels, you know what? In the lineage and in the genealogy of Christ, you'll go down through a multitude of names there, but one day you'll reach the name of Abraham, of Isaac, not Esau, but Jacob. Jacob. Very important. But he sold it. He didn't have faith. He didn't believe God. Let me tell you something this morning. You better believe what God says in His Word. The birthright is important. And Esau, when he sold his birthright, the Bible says he despised it. He despised it. It made him bitter. I'll tell you something about rejecting Christ. You can come and you can hear the Word of God. And you can reject Christ. You'll give place to the devil and you'll be meaner than you ever was before. It'll make you bitter. It'll make you bad. It'll make you worse. But let me say more about the birthright right here. We're presented in the day and age of the gospel, in the day and age of grace, the great dispensation. We have a birthright. Each and every man, woman, boy, and girl that is born into this world has a birthright. You don't have to just be the firstborn in a family. When Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, He died for those that were dead in trespasses and sin, which encamped all mankind. He died for all. And we have a birthright today. If you're lost here this morning, you have a birthright that God has given you. You can be born again. And to say no to God is a dangerous thing. When God comes to you in personal conviction, when God begins to draw and convict a person and wants to save them, that person has a choice to make. Just like Esau made a bad choice. He traded his birthright off for a bowl of stew. What is it? What is it today, lost person? What are you trading off for the right to be born again? I remember when I was lost. I was lost. I was a drunk. I was a gambler. And I was enjoying it. And yet I knew, Brother Tim, within myself, if I died, I'd go to hell. And that scared me. That scared me. I believed God's Word. And you know something deep within inside me? I wanted really to be saved. But I wanted to claim to cling on to the world too at the same time, to the things that I was doing. But under conviction, you know, hey, you got to repent of your sins. You've got to become godly sorry of your sins. And you've got to realize that it ain't worth going to hell over. It ain't worth it. Hell is for eternity. Eternity. If you can comprehend what eternity is, how long eternity is, I wish you'd explain it to me. I can't comprehend it. Something that never, 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 never ends. If a person died and went to hell for a million years, that'd be awful. If it was 5 million years, that'd be awful, but you'd have hope at least of getting out one day. But eternity, hey, when you leave this life, friend, the Bible says, as a tree falls, there shall it also lay. As eternity finds you, that's where it'll keep you. It's so important, the birthright. Jesus died so that we could live. And He offers that free gift to everyone. The teachings of the birthright, the trading of the birthright. Esau traded his right away. But then the timing of the birthright. You know, time is important. Time is very important in our lives. And we better make the most of the time that God has given us. When we were born into this world, you might say that God deposited so many days or years in our life. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Amen? And God has given us a length of time to journey through this life. And at some point in time in life, God wants people to hear the gospel and to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. That's a verse in the Bible. That's the Word of God. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a religious man. But he was religiously lost. And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks in the same boat today that had their name on the church roll. I had mine on the church roll when I was lost. I knew I was lost. Yet I was a member of Sardis Baptist Church down here below Bowden. And, you know, if I had died in that condition, they'd have rolled me up in front of the church and they could have looked in the minutes of that church and said, well, he's a member here. Preacher could have stood up and he could have just preached me right on into heaven all the time. I'd have been in hell screaming. But thank God. Thank God he come to me one day and drew me with cords of love. The importance of time. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, the Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. But somewhere in between those two events, there's a time to be born again. And that ought to be, lost person, that ought to be the most important thing in your life that you're speaking, is to be right with God. and be ready to leave this life, because we're all leaving it one day. We're all leaving it one day. But the ignorance of this timing, ignorance, as much learning as Esau had, he willfully was ignorant. What profits this birthright? I ain't got no time for that. What profit? And he traded his birthright away. But I want you to notice this in Genesis chapter number 27 now. There came a time of the inheritance. An inheritance time. Isaac now had become old. His eyes had become dim. And in chapter number 27, the Bible says that he called Esau. He said, I don't know the days of my death or how many days I got left. He said, go out and kill me some of that venison and bring it in here that I can eat, and I'll give you the blessings of the birthright. And as he went out, you know the story, most of you do, how Jacob came in and he took the birthright that Esau had traded him. And it was something that couldn't be taken back. Can I tell you, there'll be no second chances in hell. No second chances. Notice this. Jacob has now come and taken the birthright and the blessing from Isaac. In verse number 32, the Bible says, and Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? This is when Esau has now come in. He said, who art thou? He said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. I want the firstborn blessings now. But it was too late. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I've eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Listen to this now. Listen to this now. This is what you'll find over in the book of Hebrews. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. A missed opportunity. Can I tell you, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today, if thou wilt hear his voice, harden not your heart. I wonder this morning, is there anybody that's hardening your heart against the call of God? It's a dangerous thing. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now's the acceptable time, the Bible says. There's some Bible characters that comes to my mind. Felix, a man of high rankings. The Apostle Paul, he came before Paul one day and he wanted to hear what Paul had to say about Christianity and about the gospel. And the Bible says when he and his wife heard it, he trembled with fear. He trembled. But he made a decision to reject his birthright that day. He was under conviction. But he said, go thy way, Paul. At a more convenient time, I'll call for you again. He drops off of the pages of your Bible, never to be mentioned again. He's gone. He's gone. He rejected the call of God. King Agrippa, as Paul stood before King Agrippa, Paul gave his testimony to this king. And he told him about Jesus, about how he saved him on the Damascus Road. And at the end of the conversation, King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he dropped off the pages of the Word of God, never to be heard from again. Made a bad decision. God had him there under conviction. Almost. Almost. but he didn't make a move toward God. It's so important in a person's life when they hear the gospel and they're troubled within their heart. And they know they need to be saved. They know God is dealing with them. To reject Him. To look at the cross and say, "No, I don't want you, Lord. I don't want you. It's dangerous ground. You see, the Bible says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. You remember that verse? When the Spirit of God draws, convicts, God's not obligated to ever call again. He's not obligated. That's why it's so important to be attentive in church. Listen, a lost person needs to be very attentive even in church. Listen to God. If you realize you're lost, you're on dangerous ground. The timing, the trade, the teachings, but the tragedy. How tragic this story is for a young man to have the raising that he did, to be around God's man, Abraham, the teachings that he had. But yet, back in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read these verses to you again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Esau, more interested in the things of the world than he was the things of God. You know, when I was a lost man, you could have put my name right there where Esau's is. But God had mercy on me. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That's a tragic story. He got a bowl of stew for his birthright. I wonder today, what's your birthright worth to you? What does it mean to you? Notice this. For you know how that afterward. This word afterward right here means too late. But afterward, when it was too late, he missed the opportunity. Too late to come now. Too late to be concerned now. He found no place of repentance. You know, a lot of people think in the world today that you know, one day I won't get saved, and one day I will be saved, and I'll just come when I get ready. It don't work that way. You come to God when He calls you. It was too late for Esau. Too late to come, too late to be concerned, but lastly, it's too late to cry. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He thought, "Boy, I'll just get on, I'll get my daddy's heart right now. I'll cry." But it didn't work. He missed his opportunity. A lot of folks in hell today missed their opportunity. Had a chance to be saved. You know, we're a lot like Jacob and Esau. You're in one of the best churches in this country today. You got one of the best pastors who preaches the Word of God. And I'd hate to stand before God one day, having come out of an atmosphere like this right here, with the great preachers that's filled this pulpit right here and have to stand before God and say, I rejected you. I rejected you. Be too late to cry then. When the Spirit departs, a lost person, it'll be too late to cry. When your soul is reaped out of this whole world, too late to cry. When you stand before God, it'll be too late to cry. Jesus said in the day of judgment, there'd be those that would come before Him. They cry, Lord, Lord. We've been faithful. We've done many great and wonderful works. Lord, we've cast out devils in Your name. He'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Don't let religion take you to hell. Don't let religion take you to hell. Proverbs 29:1 says, He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, listen to this, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Too late to cry? Or the importance of the birthright? God thought it so important for us that He gave His only begotten Son to die that we could be born again, born spiritually, and spend eternity with Him. Sister Sherry, would you come to the piano? Y'all get us a song this morning if you would. I'm through preaching.